The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. This is the 5 o'clock hour of the program. My telephone number 877 Bob Live. 877-262-5483. It is just such a privilege for me to be on this side of the microphone and knowing that you are on that side of the microphone. I am reminded often about what an incredible audience this is. I mean, we have every race of people imaginable. You might be surprised to know how many black listeners I have in my audience. I have a very large number of black listeners. And I hear from them. And the overwhelming majority of them want unity and peace and understand that we are brothers and sisters in Christ and have no desire to divide. This is a very racially diverse audience. But we are one in Christ. This is an incredibly generous audience. A few times a year, just a few times a year, I come to you on behalf of a ministry that I am passionate about. Then you become passionate about it. And through the years, hundreds of thousands of Bibles have been distributed, and hundreds of thousands of people have come to Christ because of your giving. We've provided shoes for orphans. We have provided meals and Bibles for refugees in Lebanon, most of them Muslims, and the majority of them come to Christ because of the loving care given to them by Christians in these refugee camps in Lebanon. You have provided radios for Christians, persecuted Christians all over the world. You have helped build a radio transmitter that reaches the entire island of Cuba. You folks were very, very instrumental in that radio transmitter. It is done. It is finished now. And any person who has an AM radio, you say, well, Bob, people don't listen to AM radio. Oh, yes, they do. Here in America, they do. But particularly in Cuba. Have you seen the old American cars? Cuba's famous for their old American cars. They all have an AM radio. Every person on the island of Cuba can get the gospel, Christian teaching, discipleship training, because of a radio transmitter that is blasting the entire island of Cuba. And you were very instrumental in getting that radio transmitter up and running. And with all of this racial division, strife, protests, riots, looting, I am just so very, very thankful for this audience. Because, folks, listen, the gospel is the ultimate answer. Do we need political change? Yeah, we always need political change. We always do. Is the answer in the next election? No. Is the next election important? Huh, are you kidding me? If Joe Biden were to be elected, although I still don't think he will be the nominee, something's going to happen before the convention or at the convention. I could be wrong. I probably will be, but I don't think Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. I really don't. I think somebody else is going to step up. Something's going to happen. And I've got some theories, and I'm not even going to get into that. But the Democratic Party is leaning so far to the left. If you look at any of the polls, the farther left you go politically, the less Christian you are. The less likely you are to even believe in God. The less likely you are to believe the Bible. The less likely you are to stand for life. It is not just a difference in political ideology anymore. The left and the right in America, the gap has never been this big. So is this next election important? Yeah, it really is. But it's not the answer to America's problems. The answer is in your church and my church. The answer is the body of Christ coming together in unity and doing what God has called us to do. And listen carefully to me, folks. God has not called us to change politics. God has called us to change hearts. And that is done through the presentation of the gospel. I often think about the life and the ministry of Jesus. And this is something that I think every Christian must remind themselves of continually. And may I say to you, many of you are very politically active, and that's great. I do. I think that's great, and I would not discourage you from your political activism. You're involved in this party, that party. You're involved with this candidate, that candidate. Many of you are looking forward to the presidential election, and you are determined to get Donald Trump reelected. That's fine. That's great. But I want to remind you, the life and the ministry of Jesus. During Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry, he was living in a world controlled, his world anyway, was completely controlled by two entities, one political and one religious. The political entity was Rome, corrupt, pagan, atheistic, absolutely corrupt to the core. And then there was the religious entity, that was the Jewish religion. Read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and try to find where Jesus dealt with the politics, the Roman Empire. Try to find the time and the place where Jesus spoke out against the corruption of the Roman government. I double dog dare you. As far as the politics of his day was concerned, he was almost silent. Now then, turn to the religious entity. Jesus spoke often about the corruption of the Jewish religion. He called them snakes and vipers, whited sepulchers filled with dead men's bones. He said to the religious leaders of the day, "You are of your father, the devil." The religious leaders of Jesus' day absolutely hated him, despised him, and ultimately turned him over to the Romans for crucifixion. I think in many cases, Christians get things backwards. We completely ignore the corruption in the religious entities, the mainline Christian denominations today, the liberalism, the progressivism, the compromise. We almost completely ignore the corruption of religion in our day, and we put almost all of our focus on politics, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus did. Now, does that mean we withdraw from the political arena? I'm not saying that. And I don't think Scripture tells us to withdraw. But politics has never been the answer. Never will be the answer. Be involved politically. But be involved in your church much more. What happens at your church is far more important than what happens in Washington, D.C. or in Columbus, Ohio. All right, quick break, and we'll be back. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live, and we will immediately go to the phones. And I've got Charles in Columbus. Charles, you're on the air.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
Good. That's good to hear. Bob, I have a question and two comments. Question. Is what we see with America's police forces a couple of bad apples or systemic racism?
You're asking the question?
Yeah, that's the question. From your perspective, do you see this with the killing of black folks, which has been going on all along, just that we didn't have a video. Do you see this as just a couple of bad apples or systemic racism?
Well, it's certainly not a couple. It's more than that, but it is a small minority of police that are racist. I think the majority of police are good people. Black, white, all different races on the police force. Are there bad apples? Yeah. Let me ask you a question, since you asked me one. What percentage do you believe of police officers in America are racist, in your mind?
I don't know. Too many. It's too high a percentage.
What would you say, 2%, 20%, 50%?
Let's say a substantial. Let's say a substantial percentage. But you didn't answer the question. The question is, do you see it as a true bad apple or is it systemic racism?
I did answer.
What is it? Is it a true bad apples or systemic racism?
Charles, weren't you listening?
You didn't say that, Bob.
Charles, let me answer. I believe that the majority of police officers are good people. There are some bad ones. And just like you refuse to give a percentage, I can't give a percentage. But I don't think it is the majority or even close. And those that are the bad apples are being exposed, and we should be thankful that they're being exposed. And not only are they being exposed, they're being prosecuted, and they should. That's a good thing. I think that's a positive thing.
Okay. Let me go to my two comments. The first comment is this is systemic racism, and I'm gonna give you a prime example that's recently been in the news.
Can you define? Because I'm not sure what you mean. What is systemic racism?
Systemic racism, Bob, is an institution. That means this is not a one-off or a two-off. That there is a culture of racism.
Okay.
Does that clarify that for you?
Yeah. It does. Thank you.
Let me give my two comments. The first comment that there is systemic racism. I'm gonna use the lynching of George Floyd. Now if this is a one-off, it was just one bad apple. The three other officers would have stopped the primary officer who actually did the actual killing of George Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean George Floyd, but they
right.
didn't do that. Two of the officers was holding down his extremities. The other officer was running interference to prevent the folks viewing this murder. Interfering. That's systemic racism. All four were involved in it.
Let me just respond quickly. There were four police officers. Do you have any idea how many police officers are on the Minneapolis force?
A few thousand.
Okay, so we have four police officers that were bad apples. And you are saying that there is systemic racism, which, by the way, is under the control of Democrats because of four police officers. You're saying the entire police force is corrupt? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying, the likelihood of you getting four bad apples in the same act of committing murder is highly unusual. That's what I'm saying. Can I finish? Because you asked me a question.
I said, okay, that's all I said.
What I'm saying is there's a culture there that permits the murder of black folks. And again, this isn't new. This stuff has been going on since we've been out on enslavement. But let me give my final comment.
Okay, you'll have to hurry.
Okay, now, one way I can see this culture be minimized is to white officers, as you both know, that there are white officers who are believers on these police forces. Now, what needs to happen is that my brothers in Christ who are white need to challenge these brothers and encourage them to identify the riffraff, the thuggery, and these police forces and get them off. And also prevent others from coming in.
We're out of time, Charles. But I agree with that completely, and I've been doing that for years. You and I agree on that. The bad cops should be exposed. Yeah, hey, for once, you and I agree on something. That'd be a good way to end the call. Wow, that's great. All right, more Bobberty Live coming right up. We'll be back.